The letter of 3 John is closely related to the letter of 2 John. You could even say that this letter is an illustration of the second letter. And throughout this letter, John gives us an example of what it means to walk in truth and love. And he also gives us an example of what it does not mean to walk in truth and love. For that reason, we could say that 3 John is a picture of truth and love in action. And of course, this letter, just like 2 John, is very short. And so if we want to understand what is happening here, just like 2 John, we have to put things together, to pull out little hints here and there from the letter so that we can guess at the reason why John was writing in the first place. And the very first hint that we get in this letter comes from the man that John is writing to, a man named Gaius. And we know from the name Gaius that he is a Roman, because Gaius is a Latin name. And our custom of having 3 names, a first name, a middle name, and a last name, comes from the Romans. But the Romans only had so many first names. Gaius was one of them. And Romans who had 3 names were generally quite wealthy. So based on his name alone, the name Gaius, we can assume that the man that John is writing to is a wealthy Roman Christian. And he is a Christian who is using his wealth for the good of the church. Because John praises him in this letter for the support that he had given to those he calls the brothers, even though those brothers were strangers to him. And when John is talking about these brothers, he's talking about wandering teachers, men who would go from church to church, and they would teach in one place for a while, and then after their time was done, they would move on to somewhere else. Now, traveling teachers like this were very common in those days. In fact, it was common even among the pagans. There were all kinds of people going about here and there teaching whatever they had to say. But you can imagine that with a system like that, there were more than a few who abused it, men who were only in it for the money. And that was especially true among the pagans. Men would wander from place to place, offering up their knowledge, offering up their wisdom in exchange for cash, anything that they could get before they moved on to somewhere else. We might call them hucksters or charlatans, snake oil salesmen, whatever you want to call them. You see these kinds of people in every single age. And in the previous letter, in 2 John, John warned about false teachers who were doing the same thing. Men who claimed to be Christians, but who were only in it for the money, who were speaking lies in the name of God. Don't welcome them in, he said in that letter. Have nothing to do with them. Don't even greet them, so that you do not participate in their evil deeds. But John shows us in this letter that not all the wandering teachers were like this. Some of them were genuine. Some of them were speaking the truth of God. And of course, that would lead very naturally to this question. How do you know the difference? How do you know who is true and who is false? How can you tell them apart? And having that kind of doubt about wondering how to tell them apart would very naturally lead some to be hesitant to support anyone at all. Better to hold on to your money and to never be duped, to never be swindled, than to be taken in by one of these charlatans. But John reassures Gaius in this letter. These men, these brothers, are true. He says in verse 7, "For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles." If they were only in it for the money, if they were only in it for what they could get out of people, they would take that money from anywhere. They would not hesitate even to take it from unbelievers. And they would not show a care or concern for the people that they were teaching. All that would matter to them was what they could get out of you. But these men that John was talking about had not done so. They were going out for the sake of the name. They were willing to suffer many things for the sake of Christ. And they were not using their position as teachers for abuse, but to teach the truth in love. Such men are worthy of your support, John says. And supporting them means supporting the work of the gospel. But John is not telling us in this letter to just throw our money away anywhere. He warns us to hold on to the truth, because not all who claim to speak for God actually do. And there are certainly many false teachers, Christians, just as many back then as there are today, even if it seems like there are more now. And you don't even have to try that hard to find them. Could be as easy as just turning on the TV. Because if you ever watch a religious channel, it won't be long before we see someone come on wanting some kind of donation, claiming that if you just support them, if you just send in a single little donation, that God will bless you in ways that beyond ways that you can even imagine. All it would take is one donation, the bigger the better, and God would unlock his power in your life. And they tried to back up that claim by all kinds of biblical passages, saying that this proves that God is going to do this for you. They may even hold themselves up. God made me rich, and he's going to make you rich too. You see these kinds of teachers all the time. And Christians, I pray that you will be able to see them for what they actually are. False teachers who claim to speak for God. But I understand if teachers like these make you hesitant. It may lead us to ask a question like, well, are all who claim to speak for God like that? Are they all just the same? And unfortunately, we see this problem with the news as well. Because very recently, there have been several very famous pastors, very prominent pastors in this country, who have been outed over sexual scandals. And there are churches that have also had embezzling problems, people using donations for their own personal gain, sometimes in very expensive ways. And seeing these problems, seeing these great evils, can lead us to ask, why should I support anyone at all? It all seems so corrupt these days. But listen to what John says. Verse 8, therefore we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. It is good to support those who are true. God calls for us to labor together as the church, even if that laboring means supporting those who go out to speak in his name. And just because there are many false teachers out there, Christians, does not mean that we should give up altogether. Because God will still preserve his church. God will never let her fall, even if many false teachers have gone out into the world. So there are those who speak the truth. But how do we know the difference? How do we know who is true and who is worthy of our support, and who is not? We do so, Christians, by comparing what they say with the Word of God. Let's take the Bereans, for example, Jews from the book of Acts. We're told in Acts chapter 17, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So the Bereans listened to what Paul had to say. In fact, they listened very eagerly. But then they took what he said and they compared it to the Bible? Is what Paul was saying consistent with what God has said? And if those two matched up, then they listened to him. When they saw that what he said was the same as the scriptures, they received it as the truth. And they believed in Jesus Christ, not just because of what Paul said, but because of what the Word of God had showed them. And Christians, it's the same for us. Everything that we hear should be compared to what the Bible says. And if they are not the same, then they should be rejected. And no teacher should ever be accepted on his own authority. And that includes me. Don't accept what I'm saying just because I am the pastor. Compare what I am saying with the Bible. Don't take my word for it. See if these things are so. Just because I said it doesn't make it true. But if what I am saying is the same as the Bible, then accept it as the truth. Listen to God above all. Because by being in the Word of God, Christians, you will know the truth. And knowing the truth, you will be able to tell the difference between who is true and who is false. Because you will know the voice of God. And knowing His voice, you will follow Him in all things. But there is one more thing for us to consider here, something else that the Bible also says. Jesus says that you will know false teachers by their fruits. You will also know them by what they do. What they say matters as much as what they do. And we see an example of this also in our letter from 3 John. A man named Diotrephes was causing problems in the congregation. This man was probably also a leader just like Gaius. But he was a man who liked to be first. A man who enjoyed being in power. And his love of being first led him into serious error. It led him to reject the authority of John, even though John had received his authority directly from God. It led him to slander John among the people, saying all kinds of nasty things about him. And it also led him to reject those wandering teachers, those brothers who had come to them and not supporting them at all. And even going so far as to excommunicate those who disagreed with them. Go against what he was saying and you would be thrown out of the church. He was a teacher who had gone mad with power, leading him to become spiritually abusive. Accept my authority, he said, or else. And Christians, as a pastor, I can certainly recognize this temptation. Satan can lead anyone to abuse their position. It would be so very easy for me as a pastor to think that just because I'm wearing vestments and have put on a collar, that I am someone special, that I am someone who should be listened to. But that kind of pride should be seen for what it is. You will know them by their fruits. But rather listen to what Paul says about what a pastor should be in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. What they do is just as important as what they say. But for those who do both, Christians, for those who speak the truth, and for those who walk in the way of God, they are worthy of support and honor. And the last man who is mentioned in this letter, Demetrius, is an example of that. John says in verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So having a good testimony from everyone means that Demetrius was a man walking in the ways of God. He was doing what God had called him to do. And having a good testimony from the truth itself meant that he was speaking that truth. And John adds his own testimony, saying that he was a man worthy of this support. Here was a good man who speaks the truth, he says. So receive him and support him in true Christian love. So here then, Christians, in this letter, we have an example of truth and love in action. And John calls for us to hold on to the truth, to know the Word of God, to study it, to make it our daily delight, and to know the voice of God for ourselves, so that we know what it is that God has said. And then he calls for us to hold everything that we hear up to that standard, and to ask ourselves the hard questions. Does what I am hearing meet that standard? Does it agree with the Bible? And we should also ask ourselves, do those who speak the truth of God follow what it says? We should insist on that truth. We should not be afraid to ask these questions, to insist on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when it comes to the things of God. That's what God wants us to do. And for those who speak the truth and who walk in it, John calls for us to receive them in true Christian love, so that the whole church is built up through our love, and the truth of God goes out more and more into the world. So just as in the previous letter, John calls for us to insist on both things, to insist on the truth and to insist on love, because that is what it means to walk in the ways of God. Let us pray. Lord God, who has spoken the truth to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, teach us to know your voice in all things, and lead us to support those who truly speak for you, so that your church may be built up in true Christian love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.